From the Blue Ridge Mountains to the Chesapeake Bay, Virginia is a mecca for outdoor travel and adventure. Virginia Outdoor Adventures podcast brings listeners stories and recommendations from leaders and influencers across the Virginia outdoor community. Get the information and the inspiration to plan your own adventure right here in Virginia. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. Scenic views, historic sites, museums, restaurants, breweries, and cafes are just a few of the many attractions to explore on Norfolk's Elizabeth River Trail. Kendra McDonald Green, Executive Director of the Elizabeth River Trail, shares the highlights of the 10.5-mile multi-use trail located on Norfolk's iconic waterfront. Following the Elizabeth River, this trail connects 28 neighborhoods and provides trail users with access to downtown's most popular destinations, including the Battleship Wisconsin, Nauticus, Hermitage Museum and Gardens, and the 19th century Fort Norfolk. Whether you're looking for a long-distance ride or a leisurely stroll while watching the ships sail in, the Elizabeth River Trail has something for everyone. Kendra shares future plans for the Elizabeth River Trail to become the first glow-in-the-dark illuminated path on the East Coast. Let's go. Virginia Outdoor Adventures podcast is sponsored by the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources. DWR is your conservation agency to connect you to outdoor recreation opportunities, manage wildlife, and protect you while you enjoy the outdoors. The outdoors are better together when we restore, explore, and protect. We're also sponsored by Visit Mecklenburg. Spring break is just around the corner. Have you made your travel plans yet? Whether you're looking to reconnect with family and friends or just spend some quality me time, may I suggest exploring Mecklenburg County, Virginia, home of Kerr Lake, or known by the locals as Bugs Island Lake, with over 850 miles of beautiful shoreline. Kerr Lake is an ideal location for boating, kayaking, paddleboarding, fishing, and swimming. With cozy cabins and inns, local wineries, farm-to-table restaurants, and quaint shops nearby, Mecklenburg is an ideal base camp for your lake vacation. Ready for your lake adventure? Download the travel guide and start planning your trip at visitmecva.com or click Visit Mecklenburg in the show notes of your listening app to go directly to their site and utilize the handy Plan a Trip tool. Kendra, welcome back to Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm really glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is actually your second time on Virginia Outdoor Adventures. You were the second guest in season one. So I'm glad to have you back here again.
The second guest. So what episode is this now?
I think this is episode 26.
26. That's amazing. Virginia Outdoor Adventures has come a long way. So congratulations to you, Jessica. That's awesome.
Thank you, Kendra. So way back in episode 2, you were on the show to talk about AmeriCorps, more specifically the Virginia Service and Conservation Corps. Do you want to briefly mention what that's about for anyone who hasn't heard that episode?
Sure. So it's a service in Virginia State Parks that allows you to really experience what it's like to be in kind of running the city that is a state park. So everything from maintenance and trail building to kind of the programming and education that goes on there. And I did two back-to-back terms, one as an educational interpreter and then one as a natural resource rangers. So doing all kinds of things with snakes and chainsaws and prescribed burns and lots of trail maintenance. And it was really just an incredible experience. I think it really was pivotal in kind of changing my career trajectory, even though I came to it kind of late in life.
Well, it's funny you mentioned prescribed burn because the last episode of Virginia Outdoor Adventures was about good fire, which is another term for prescribed fire. And I thought about you in that episode because my guest, Sam Lopez, previously worked for Virginia State Parks, now works for the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources. But one of my listeners submitted a question to her asking how somebody can participate in a prescribed fire or prescribed burn. And one of her first responses was to join AmeriCorps, which is what you did. And you shared some of that experience in episode 2.
Yeah, you've got it. I mean, absolutely. Just I'll shout out again to AmeriCorps because really just the opportunity for you to gain a whole different skill set, and just really check off like certifications and skills in the outdoor world. So an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, that's great. So let's talk about your new role. You're no longer working in Virginia State Parks as an AmeriCorps member, but what's your role now?
Sure. I'm the executive director of the Elizabeth River Trail in Norfolk, Virginia.
And tell me about this trail because you've been telling me a whole lot about this trail since you got the job. And I know that you're so enthusiastic and excited about it, but I haven't yet been on the trail. So I'm coming down for a visit sometime soon. But why don't you go ahead and give me a little bit of an overview?
Yes, I can't wait to take you on the trail. The Elizabeth River Trail is a 10 and a half mile urban waterfront trail that runs basically the whole length of the Elizabeth River in downtown Norfolk. And it's a multi-use trail, so lots of ped, bike, scooter, all kinds of things, and it really connects 28 different neighborhoods throughout the city to each other just by way of this trail and connection to the working waterfront that is the Elizabeth River. So it's literally the first place I take a visitor when they come to see me because it's the best way for me to show off my town. So I can't wait to get you here.
That's great. And did you already say how long it is?
Yeah, it's 10 and a half miles. So that is the existing trail. And we're a real like rail to trail kind of situation because Norfolk Southern, the rail line, of course, was had its roots here in Norfolk. And our trail really started on an old right-of-way section of the trail of the rail line. So yeah, so currently 10 and a half miles. We are looking to expand it. So we can talk about that in a little bit.
So I went on to your website, the Elizabeth River Trail Foundation's website, and they have a really cool interactive map on there that highlights the trail section by section. So you can actually see in each section of the trail what features and highlights and I guess tourism or tourist destinations there are along the way. So 10 and a half miles doesn't sound like a lot, but I could see you spending a day or more just going section by section and stopping at all of these different points along the way. So 10 and a half miles might not be long for somebody who rides long distances, but you could certainly make a whole weekend out of it.
Easily. So, I would if you were coming to Norfolk, I would suggest staying in one of our very close to the trail hotels right in downtown, and you could spend one day doing a point to point like walking it from its tippy top at North State University all the way down to the Port of Virginia. So you could walk it, or maybe the next day, that would be a full day. I mean, there's so much to do along the way. And for me, I really love exploring a city by foot. That's always what I do when I go to a new city. So the trail will really highlight like every tourist attraction that Norfolk has to offer. I mean, easy access to our best museums, our history. It's perfect to visit and really spend time in each of the neighborhoods as you're walking. So that's a whole day you could do. And then maybe the second day I would do a bike ride of the trail. So I would do an out and back. So you're looking at, over 20, 21 miles by bike. So it's a good trek. So easily a weekend visit, sure.
Absolutely. So tell me about some of your favorite attractions along the trail. I know that some of Norfolk's most famous attractions are accessible from the trail.
Yes, and it's so hard for me to narrow it down, but I will hit on a few highlights. So literally the first place I bring a visitor is I take them to the USS Wisconsin. So it's the famous battleship that is here outside of our Naval Museum and Nauticus, our naval Museum, Maritime Museum. But the Battleship Wisconsin is kind of the signature of Norfolk. Everybody wants their photo taken there. And I think of that really, it is mile marker zero on the Intracoastal Waterway. And so that's a really good starting point for the trail. It's not necessarily the very tippy top of it, but it's a great starting point. And then from there, you've got Town Point Park, which is just a beautiful open green space where you can watch the American Rover. And I mean, I think honestly, I have to just say that we highlight the Elizabeth River, which has been a working river and a working waterfront for centuries. So you never know on, I mean, literally hour by hour, your scenery changes. You might have naval vessels going by. You might have sailboats or, you know, antique ships. You might have, you know, helicopters coming by and ferry boats. So it's just the waterfront itself is constantly changing. So that's super cool. But as you go past the battleship, you're gonna go through our pagoda and Oriental Gardens, which is just a really tranquil space, kind of the best sunset spot, I think, on the trail.
Good to know.
Yes, that's kind of our secret there. And then the Freemason District, I always love to highlight because you really feel transported as you go through there. That's where we have some of our original cobblestone streets. Some of the oldest houses in Norfolk are in that district. Awesome coffee shops and little local artisan cheese shops along the way. And I mean, it just I can linger because it really is a place where you know you go a little bit, you explore, you keep going, and just find something new along the way. I'll highlight also the Lock Haven section of the trail, which is actually kind of the longest section, which is just under 2 miles. And that is where the Hermitage Museum is, which I think it's like a hidden gem of Norfolk, and it's an artisan house. Like the whole museum was built in the arts and crafts style. So everything from like the shingles to the like window panes, everything was built by hand. And it houses a really gorgeous art collection. It has these amazing grounds that on the river. So the trail can get you like from one gem to another hidden gem and really highlight it is what I think is so special about it.
Well, that's what I thought was really neat when I was looking at the interactive map online, is I realized so quickly, if you only have a weekend, you're going to have to pick and choose which of those
Right.
highlights you're going to see. You can't do them all. So there's just so much to do. But I love the variety of the museums. Like you said, there's a maritime museum, an art museum. Isn't there also a science museum?
Not necessarily science, but we are really close to also the Chrysler Museum is just off of our trail as well, which is our kind of big fine arts museum here in the area.
Okay,
And
so
oh, and the glass. I mean, so right, the we're kind of known, we're kind of becoming a city of glass. We have some amazing glass blowing here in Norfolk, and our glass museum is there as well.
oh, that would be really neat to see. I'm definitely going to have to check that out. And they also have all kinds of restaurants right on the water, and like you said, little cafes and things. But what one of the things that struck me about the trail is it was clear that it's not the same type of neighborhood that the trail passes through the entire time. Like sometimes it goes through residential neighborhoods, like you mentioned, and sometimes it's right in the middle of downtown. And so even though it's 10 and a half miles, it changes quite a bit in that 10 and a half miles.
You just nailed it, Jessica. Absolutely. So, I mean, we are very much an urban trail. So, because of that, you are going through some residential neighborhoods and like I said, connecting neighborhoods. But we also have, because we're right on the river and we have such a strong connection to the water, we have a pretty industrial section. We have shipyards that are right on the trail. We have our medical complexes right on the trail. We have Sentara Eastern Virginia Medical School and the Children's Hospital of the King's Daughters right on the trail. We have Fort Norfolk, which is the most one of the most historic installations, military installations that's here. So yeah, it's an ever evolving kind of exploration.
And one other thing I saw on the map, which is not quite on the trail, but only a few blocks away, it looked like, is the Virginia Zoo.
The zoo is not too far, and the zoo is always, they're a great partner to us. We try to, you know, if somebody's coming to Norfolk, you know, we want them to hit all of the things that make Norfolk special. So the zoo is a great partner.
There's so much to do on this trail. Now, if somebody wants to ride the trail on a bike, but they don't own a bike, is there a place where they can rent one?
Absolutely. So, so right downtown, literally right within steps of the, that mile marker zero that I mentioned is, a place called Pedego, and they specialize in electric bikes. So they are always doing rentals, and they have kind of a standing, tour on the trail every Saturday morning. I think it's at 10. So people gather, rent bikes, and tour the trail. And then you might be familiar with Lime, the Lime scooters and Lime mm-hmm. electric bikes. I don't know if they're up in Northern Virginia yet, but we've partnered with Lime, and they were kind of a Lime hero. So when people rent bikes or scooters, they can choose to donate or round up their ride. And that goes to the ERT, which is nice. So scooters and electric bikes through Lime. And then Nauticus, which is right where that Battleship Wisconsin is, they have a traditional bike rental program. There's a giant cruise ship terminal there, and we're entering a really busy cruise season. So we have cruise ships that let off people, and there's a bike rental program there as well for
Very
the traditional
cool.
bike. Yeah.
That's cool. So is it safe to assume that all of the attractions along the way have places to park and lock your bike if you want to go inside a museum, for example?
Yeah, so that's actually one of the things that the trail is charged with doing. I mean, we're a nonprofit organization, and even though we're in the city, and the city partners with us, it's the foundation that is charged with bringing awareness to the trail, activating the trail, and fundraising for the amenities, just like you mentioned, the bike racks. So we've been able to install bike racks all along the trail, along with about a dozen bike repair stations, like fully functioning bike repair stations. So you can, if you've got a flat, you can pump up your tire. You have all of the tools and equipments to tighten things, fix chains. And those are freestanding along the trail as well.
Couple of other logistical questions. So
sure.
Is there food, water, restrooms? Where will they find those?
So food is not a problem at all. So I can talk forever about all the food opportunities along the trail. As far as like public restrooms, like you might find in a park, we do not have any of those facilities right now. So that's kind of, you know, looking long-term at the trail, we'd love to have, you know, stations like that, like you would find at a, you know, a Virginia State Park. So right now, bathroom opportunities would be all of our local businesses, retail and food establishments along the way. And then the same thing with water. That is one of, we did a survey a couple years ago on kind of what the trail user most would like to see. And the number one answer always is hydration stations. So right now the city doesn't have water that goes along the trail. So we are working with that. I'm sure that there is a way to get that to happen. We foresee in our kind of amenities planning hydration stations for both humans and dogs along the trail. So I'd say that that's coming, but right now we have to partner with the city to get water hookup in various places along the trail. We basically are going to have 11 trailhead sections, as you mentioned, that goes kind of the whole length. So the idea is to have hydration stations at each trailhead.
That'll be great. But in the meantime, remember to bring your water.
Bring your water. Yeah. And do you want me to talk about food? Because I can highlight.
Please.
Yeah.
Isn't food always the highlight of every adventure?
It is. And like, especially if you're traveling to a new place, I mean, that's always where I want to go. Like, where are the locals going? What's the best place to go to? So, it's something that we really embrace on the trail, and we have this kind of social media hashtag trail grazing for all the places that you can literally start on one end of the trail and just like eat your way through to the to the end. So I'll shout out a few of my favorite places, but I mean there's so many, but I always call out Virginia Cheese Company. They're in the Freemason district, and they have not only like artisan cheeses, but they'll like fix a mean grilled cheese for you, which is awesome. And then right next to them is Cure Coffee House. So awesome coffee with house-made syrups and all kinds of stuff. And they have great food as well. And then I want to highlight the Chelsea district, which is again, a super cool district, like a really neat neighborhood. It's got this kind of mix of, you know, shipyard and residential and industrial and small business, like entrepreneurs, but it's kind of brewery central. So like, if you want to just do a brewery tour on the trail, you could totally do that. So we've got,
oh my gosh, yes, please. Yeah.
We've got Benchtop Brewing. We've got Smart Mouth Brewing. There's so much. And then there's the Chelsea Bakehouse, which is get there early because they sell out of their morning buns and their turnovers. Like, oh my gosh, like artisan baked goods. Yeah. So cool. It's just a really, it's just such a like local love and community there. And it's just the trail bisects all of that. It's so cool.
Oh my gosh. Well, you definitely have me excited to come out and do this. And the good news is spring is right around the corner. So yes, for those people who are sort of waiting to dust off their two wheels, now's the time.
Absolutely.
Get your bike right and get your bike tuned up now before you're waiting for your bike tune up for weeks and weeks. Just a little suggestion there. More from Kendra in just a moment. But first, did you know that the chemicals typically found in household cleaning and personal care products can be harmful to people and our planet? That's why I decided to make the switch to natural products using the all-natural goat milk soaps and lotions handcrafted by the Freckled Farm Soap Company, a family-owned and operated small business right here in Virginia. The Freckle Farm Soap Company creates natural skincare products that are better for people and better for the environment. Their goat milk soaps and lotions are handmade with organic essential oils from certified sustainable sources and raw goat milk from their own farm in Goochland, Virginia. I've been a longtime customer. Their goat milk soap leaves my skin feeling soft and clean, and I don't need to worry about what's going down my drain. I like that their lotion is creamy but not greasy. Their products are biodegradable and gentle and contain no harmful chemicals. As a Virginia Outdoor Adventures listener, you can receive a discount on your order by entering VAOA at checkout for 10% off. Shipping is free on orders over $35. Visit their website at thefrecklefarmsoapcompany.com or click the link in the show notes to take you directly to their site. Don't forget to enter VAOA at checkout for 10% off. And now back to the show. I hear that you've got some big news regarding future plans for this trail. Please give me all the juicy details.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so I'm so lucky to have an amazing board, an amazing master planning committee that has great ideas in how to grow this trail. And we're really trying to create a world-class asset that is a source of local pride. So we're really embracing what makes us unique here in Norfolk. But like I said, we've got all kinds of cruise lines dropping off and people all over exploring. So we feel like it appeals to everyone. But our newest amenity, I'm like so excited about. So we're just about to break ground on a project that is at one of our trailheads. Jeff Robertson Park is the name of the park, which is a kind of a beloved park in the Ghent area of Norfolk. And it's also, it kind of connects that Chelsea district I just talked about to a very, very busy road, Hampton Boulevard, which is what leads to Old Dominion University, one of two universities on the trail. So we have ODU and Norfolk State University where our trail starts. But anyway, so this section between those two places, gets a lot of love during the day, but at night it's one of like the darkest sections of our trail, and we are about to unveil the glow line, which is going to be a first of its kind amenity on the East Coast. The glow lines or luminous paths currently exist, I think, in Austin. There's a couple out in the Midwest. But what this is, Jessica, is it's an 800-foot luminous pathway that's actually created from glowstone. It's a like this amazing aggregate that gets put into the concrete and absorbs the natural sunlight all day in that beautiful open space. And then at sunset, it emits this soft glow for about 6 to 8 hours and just creates this really magical presence. So it does a couple of things, and it will attract people out to see the beautiful, the glowing pathway, which will also have this gorgeous fiddlehead fern stencil throughout. But it also lights up an area that's really very dark. And I mentioned that there are shipyards along the trail, and we really see the trail as infrastructure. It's a way that a lot of people get to and from work. So this allows that area to be a little bit more lit up, a little safer at night, but also pretty magical. So I'm super excited. We should break ground on that, middle of this month.
The luminous path is super cool. When you first described it to me, I was envisioning like a sidewalk that had lights on the outside of it that would light up. And that is not at all what it looks like. I Googled luminous path to see what this looks like, because I think it exists in maybe one or two other cities on the West Coast, perhaps, or Midwest. But like you said, not on the East Coast. So I Googled it, and when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, are you serious? It looks like gravel that somebody shined a black light on, and it's just glowing all of these fluorescent colors. Like I was saying, it reminds me of those posters I had on my bedroom wall in high school that I had black lights on, and it would glow all kinds of weird, like crazy bright pinks and blues and yellows and oranges. And that's kind of what it reminded me of.
You're totally right. Like, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. It's so exciting to really see this come to fruition. And we have had amazing city support from it. We've had some great donor support, but we're really launching a crowdfunding campaign because every time we mention this, just like you, the community gets excited. So we're really hoping that everyone who lives along the trail and who uses the trail daily can help us kind of fund that last little bit to get this trail glowing. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, it is super exciting. So let's switch over a little bit and talk about trail accessibility and transportation and what role the Elizabeth River Trail plays in the community. But you've been mentioning community all along, but can you talk a little bit about accessibility and transportation?
Absolutely, absolutely. So the trail is the community builder, really for Norfolk, and we think it plays a lot of roles. So not only is it outdoor recreation and sort of a sanctuary for all that's going on these past 3 years, we have to really say, like, we recognize that we were a refuge and a resource, especially during the height of the pandemic. And I mentioned all of the medical facilities that are along our trail, like Sentara is one of it's the largest kind of medical system in our area. And so not only would we have nurses and doctors, out using the trail and trying to take a break and enjoy the peace of it, but just people that were visiting family members or maybe couldn't see them found a refuge in the trail. So it really does provide opportunities for, again, safe recreation, outdoor recreation, but community connectivity. And then the other thing, I mean, there's so many things the trail does, but it really is infrastructure for our city. It is a way 24/7 for people to get to and from work who may not have access to a vehicle. On at any time of day, I will go out on the trail and I will see lots of dogs, lots of doggies, but also lots of hard hats. And those are the shipyard workers, you know, going back and forth to work and really using the trail as the way to do that. Lots of, you know, families, of course, as well. But it serves a real role for our downtown businesses and as a kind of economic engine for the city. You know, trails are good for business, right? Like people are out walking and they're gonna stop in and you know, see the small businesses popping up in the restaurants. So it serves many different roles. But I think most people are just surprised. Like I've had people who have lived in Norfolk their whole lives and really just discovered the trail during the pandemic and were absolutely shocked that in the midst of this real urban kind of bustling area, there's this point that juts out into the Elizabeth River, and we have a meditative labyrinth there. We have you know, benches to sit and watch the water or watch the ships go by. And we actually have a bird sanctuary on the trail. Like it's unbelievable. There's something for everyone, whether you're a history buff or a nature buff or, you know, really just working on fitness. We actually have an American Ninja Warrior style obstacle course on the trail. So I joke that there is truly something for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, you forgot to tell me that there's a bird sanctuary. You know, that's
Yes,
the
I
first section I'm going
forgot.
to.
Jessica, oh my gosh. Yes, the Wayanoke Bird Sanctuary. It's incredible. So
Let's make it
next
the first
time.
stop.
Okay, you got it. You got it. Well, so just to highlight real quick, so that the glow line I was just mentioning is right next to the bird sanctuary. So that glow line will end right at the bird sanctuary. And that's why the our engineer team and our architecture team designed the stencil of the fiddle leaf fern because they think it, you know, it mirrors the natural environment of the bird sanctuary. So it's really
Wow.
nice.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that is really cool. So there seems to be a real emphasis on trails in Virginia in general and the role that they play in transportation and connecting one community to another. So I think it's fascinating that this particular trail can serve so many purposes. It's wonderful. And
Yeah.
speaking of serving so many purposes, it also plays a role in combating sea level rise. Am I right?
Yes, thank you so much for mentioning that. That's really, really core and integral to kind of the strategic planning of our trail for the future. So when I tell you we are on the Elizabeth River, we are on the Elizabeth River, and that is by design. We really want our trail to be as close to the spine of the river as possible, and really follow it as close as possible. But that also means that we're really at the front doorstep to sea level rise. And you know, Norfolk is that's something that we will continue to combat. And we deal with tidal flooding and nuisance flooding on the regular. So the trail really wants to serve as a partner with the city as we work through coastal resilience together. We have an Office of Coastal Resilience here in Norfolk that was instrumental in building out one of the newest sections of the trail, our Water Street open space at sort of towards Norfolk State University. And oh, I meant to, and Harbor Park. I forgot to shout out to the Tides, our baseball team here. So right at the front of Harbor Park is this amazing open space that can really be used however you want it. It can be used as a skate park, can be used as a food truck rodeo or a farmer's market. But it was just a former brownfields space that the City of Norfolk's Coastal Resilience Office took on the project to you know, bring it to life using porous asphalt DEQ parameters for absorption and native plants to kind of create this living shoreline. So it's a real model for how we can take a space and incorporate the natural elements, but also help with some of that nuisance flooding and tidal flooding I mentioned. So we see the trail working not only as a way to absorb as a sponge some of that water, but it can be a bridge in some places. And also in some places, it can serve as a form of egress or evacuation. We have some absolute sections in our city that we know not to drive in if we have heavy rain. The trail can be an alternative for that to get you where you need to go. So we're really excited about how we can partner with the city to really be a storyteller and an example to other coastal cities in terms of using the trail to help with that.
Yeah. And for those people who don't know, the entire Hampton Roads area is dealing with sea level rise more so than any other part of Virginia. Isn't that correct?
That's true. That's true. And the other kind of component of this is our Army Corps of Engineers that's based out of Fort Norfolk here that's on the trail is working on a large scale seawall project that will kind of run parallel to the trail to, again, help with flooding. And so we're hoping to, again, partner with the Army Corps of Engineers to be right alongside them in this project.
Yeah, a lot of great work going on there with the communities that are most impacted by sea level rise. So that's awesome to hear. What are some upcoming activities and events? What's going to be new in the future?
Yeah, so we always do, we do lots of programming on the trail. All of our activities and events are free and open to the public. I mean, we are all about, you know, accessibility. We try to do everything to make the trail as accessible and open as possible. And that means that every program we put on, we just want you to come to, just show up, right? It's free and open. So that would be everything from tours with Norfolk Tour Company, like historic tours of that Freemason district that I mentioned. We just did a African-American history tour, which was 400 years on the Underground River, thinking about the Elizabeth River as an escape way for enslaved persons. We have botanical tours that we do with a master gardener. So those are both bike and walking tours. So all of that can be found, you know, on our website and in our social media for programming. But we have a signature event. It's our Elizabeth River Run 10K. So if there are any runners listening, there's a super fun course. It's Labor Day weekend, Sunday, September 4th this year. And you'll get to run a 10K on the trail starting at Old Dominion University and going all the way to the Port of Virginia. So that's coming up if you have any runners that want to register. And then our big day, as you might know, one of our biggest days of the year is April 23rd, which is Celebrate Trails Day. So it's a, you know, National Rails to Trails Conservancy Day, and it's just bringing awareness to trails, getting people out on trails. And so the whole day from morning to night, we've got activities all along the trail, everything from yoga to bike clinics to, you know, obstacle course competitions. All of our partners kind of have free admission and really open up their doors to get trail users in. And it's an exciting day. And then May, of course, May is bike month. So like every day in May is something exciting with bikes.
Very cool. So maybe that's a good time to come visit. Then I get to participate in all of the events that you have going on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Lots going on in May.
Wonderful. Did you have anything else you wanted to add about the future of the trail?
Yeah, I mean, so I feel really lucky to have stepped on board late fall and really get to, there was an amazing foundation built for what is a fairly young organization. So getting to grow the future of the trail forward is super exciting. And one of those things we're looking towards is, you know, I mentioned we follow the Elizabeth River all along Norfolk, and we've gone 10 and a half miles. So we really just want to finish it. And what that means is continuing to follow the Norfolk Southern right of way all the way to the Virginia Beach line. And we're hoping that our friends in Virginia Beach will pick up the trail. I know that they have a lot of plans to work on a trail that gets out to the ocean front. So the idea is that you could start all the way at the Port of Virginia and ride your bike to the ocean front. So that's the plan. We're mapping out an eastward extension to get us to the Virginia Beach city line.
That would be amazing. How many miles would that be?
I think we're probably at like maybe 22 potentially. Yeah.
I like that idea.
I
Especially because traffic can be so bad in Virginia Beach, I could just ride my bike there.
Well, absolutely. And like really the trail is just so multimodal. I mean, and right now, if what we would do to make that trek is we would, take it to the light rail station, our Tide, take your bike on the Tide and then get out to, a section of Virginia Beach and then we'd have to pick up other means from there. But we look at incorporating all of the modes of transportation to connect us with the community.
Wow, very cool. I'm looking forward to that day. I can't wait to be able to ride
Oh,
my bike from Norfolk to Virginia
me
Beach
too.
on the water. That'll be a great day. All right, Kendra, we're going to close it up pretty soon, but I have a couple more questions. Starting with, how can listeners connect with you, or if they want to learn more about the Elizabeth River Trail, where should they go?
Yeah, definitely. So we have a pretty active social media. You can find us on Instagram at ERT Norfolk. We always love getting trail photos and trail love. And then we have Facebook and Twitter, and it's kind of the reverse. It's at Norfolk ERT. So you can find us there. But definitely visit our website, elizabethrivertrail.org. You can subscribe to our newsletter there. So I send out a monthly newsletter, which is always fun and entertaining. We just send it once a month, so no major commitment there. And then just to check out our website. We are a nonprofit organization. Everything we do kind of goes back into the community and into the amenities for the trail. So definitely any trail love you can send your this way would be great.
Yeah, where's the information for the crowdsourcing for the Glow Line?
Yeah, we are about to launch that right now. So if you go to again to our donation page, which is Elizabeth River Trail / Kindful, KINDFUL. You will see a couple options for ways to support us. One is the upcoming Elizabeth River Run, one is our annual fund, and the other one is the Glow Line. And then I'll shout out May 10th is our Give Local campaign here in the region of Hampton Roads, Give Local 757. It's 24 hours of fundraising. And so that whole day I'll be fundraising for the Glow Line.
Good grief, woman. Do you ever take a break? You have so much
I
energy.
know. Well, I love it. There's like no other world I'd rather be in than trails. So I'm super excited about being here and kind of moving this trail forward.
I believe it. Everything you put your energy into is 110%.
Thanks, Jess. Thank you.
So Kendra, I asked you in episode 2, what was one piece of gear you can't live without? And I recall that back then, as an AmeriCorps member, you couldn't live without bug spray.
Bug spray. I remember. Yeah, I was like, definitely bug spray. Oh my goodness.
Has that
So
changed, or do you have a different piece of gear you can't live
actually,
without?
it probably has changed. I'm still all about the bug spray, but and I'll add sunscreen to that. But I've actually been riding my bike a lot more in this trail world than I did, in state parks where I was mostly on foot. But and I am, if you see me out on the trail, I am rocking my like. Oh my gosh, I think it's a 25-year-old Gary Fisher mountain bike. It's not, I'm still like lugging that thing around, but I love it. And so my new gear really is just a crossbody bike bag that I can just have over my shoulder. It's uninhibited with my arms, and I can reach in and grab my cell phone or water or what have you. So that's kind of my new gear that I'm rocking on the trail.
Very cool. Is it cute too? I'm sure it is, knowing you.
Well, it's got ERT colors. We're blue, orange, and green, so it's ERT green.
I figured as much. That's awesome. And other than one piece of gear you can't live without, do you have a next big Virginia outdoor adventure?
Well, Jessica, my next big Virginia adventure might be with this host here. So I think we're trying to plan a trip to Old Rag in May. And
Yes, we are.
I have to tell you, when you come to Norfolk, it's very flat. We are at sea level here, so it's very, very flat. So anytime I leave Norfolk, I'm like, oh my goodness, there's topography and incline. So I've started my incline training on, on a treadmill to build up for Old Rag. So that's coming hopefully in May. But I will mention it's not in Virginia, but I'm excited because the end of March I'm headed to Greenville, South Carolina to the Swamp Rabbit Trail. And that's really just a exploratory research for me. I'm kind of on a fact-finding mission because that city has done some really amazing things with that multimodal trail. So I'm hoping to take some tips from the city of Greenville and see how we can bring that back here to Norfolk.
Oh, that'll be cool. Make sure you send me some pictures.
Will do. Will do.
Yeah. Well, and until then, I will see you at Old Rag in
Ah, yes.
just in a few weeks. And I'll remind the listeners, if you haven't already heard the news, that Shenandoah National Park is now requiring permits to go up Old Rag. So you have to go online about a month in advance and reserve tickets for the day that you want to hike Old Rag, because there's now a limited number of tickets to decrease the amount of traffic and impact on that area. And try to bring back some of the fauna that has been trampled on that trail throughout the years with the increased visitation. So
Yep.
you de so people will definitely want to visit the website and get their tickets in advance if they're thinking about hiking Old Rag.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I actually like I commend them for doing that because we all need to recreate responsibly, right? And that's caring for the land that's there. So I think it's
That's right.
a good move. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, and I loved getting to share my trail with you.
This has been amazing, Kendra. You're always a wonderful guest. I'm so glad that you came back to Virginia Outdoor Adventures, and maybe you'll be back on another episode in the future.
I hope so.
That would be great. Thank you for sharing all this wonderful information about the Elizabeth River Trail, and I hope to see you in Norfolk one day soon.
Thanks, Jess. Come, you're welcome anytime.
Adventure on.
Links and resources to everything discussed today are in the notes section of your listening app and on the website at virginiaoutdooradventures.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting me. The easiest and most impactful thing you can do is visit buymeacoffee.com/JessicaBowser, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a membership and receive a Virginia Outdoor Adventures vinyl sticker and a shout-out on the show. I'm on a mission to build an outdoor community right here in Virginia. A donation or membership means you're supporting a local community of outdoor adventurers, a diverse platform that elevates everyone's voice, a resource of activities and locations close to home, local Virginia businesses, and women in podcasting and the outdoor industry. You can also support me by subscribing to the show on your listening app. Help spread the word by sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends or on social media. Last but not least, leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I love hearing from my listeners. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Virginia Outdoor Adventures or on the website virginiaoutdooradventures.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, adventure on.